Y'all realize how blessed we are, all the children we have?
Amen. Yes,
Alan brought it to my attention a while ago. We got a lot of kids, and we need kids. That's the future of our church. And we also bless all the men we have in here, too. Spiritual leaders. Now, women, don't feel left out. Look, I'm not the smartest cookie, but I have learned over the years between my mom, my wife, my mom-in-law, my daughters, my granddaughter. I know what I need to do all the time. I got some good guidance. I got some good guidance. So, I appreciate that. Turn to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to be verses 1 through 12. A lot of scripture. While y'all doing that, let me kind of let y'all know where we're headed. It's Christmas. Y'all done with your Christmas shopping? Let me ask that first. Everybody done? Anybody stressed out? Yeah. Anybody broke? Yeah. Okay. All right. Anybody forget somebody or you don't know yet? So. Hey, you know, it's all good. It's a Christmas season and a cheerful season. But we got to remember the reason for the season. We said it earlier. Amen. You know, Jesus coming to talk to us. But we're going to go in a little different direction. Y'all expecting a Christmas sermon. It is, but not probably what you think. But that's okay. And God's in control. And He lets me know where we need to go with it. So that's what we're going to do. It's the best interest of me to preach what God wants me to preach.
Amen.
And to y'all too. So we can talk about the wise men. The magi, how you going to say it. The men from the east. You know where they come from? From the east. They're not from the west. From the east. Pretty simple. I can tell you how important that is to us as we get into it. The men from the east, they represent all of us in here. You ever heard of Gentiles? A non-Jew? So we'll talk about it. Let me read Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 12. After Jesus was born, when I put emphasis on something, y'all catch it, because we're going to break a lot of this down. Because there's a lot of misconceptions about the wise men. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, now Herod is a title, kind of like president of us. You know, we have a lot of presidents all through history, there's different Herods. So this particular Herod, King Herod, the Magi from the east, came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star." Let me read that again. "We saw his star." Let's pick up on some stuff here. "When it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, the important people, okay? Y'all look, I did, you know, the quote, air quotes, important people, yeah, okay. He asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied. You notice how they knew where he was going to be born at. "For this was what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my Israel," my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Dear Heavenly Father, we take these few minutes together, just open our minds, our hearts, what you have received from this scripture. Just thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to talk about these wise men that came from the east and stuff. And I put some emphasis on a few of the things in here. You know, so our nativity scenes that we do, the manger, you know, a lot of time we had the wise men in there. And that's okay. Okay. As long as I want you to realize that most likely Jesus was a year and a half old, roughly, when the wise men came along, okay? So this is after Jesus' birth. And I know what you're asking. Why are we talking about this on Christmas, the birth of Jesus? Well, it's pretty important. And we're gonna break all that down. We're gonna get into the wise men and how they actually represent us. Way back yonder, way back then. Like always, you know, I take things in a different approach. Not always, sometimes. But I want you to realize something, too. Let me give you a little background. So, if you read the prophecy, and we're not going to break all that down. We get into prophecy, and it's detailed on where, when, how, where Jesus is going to be born. Had it all laid out, right? These scribes and these scholars that we're talking about, they knew all that. They knew they had all of it. They were educated in, what was it going to say? That's why King Herod, when he asked, and so they immediately knew where he was going to be born at because they know that. But what you get, though, is even though you know something, even though you know Jesus, that don't mean you with Jesus necessarily. That doesn't mean you got a relationship with Jesus. Just because you educated doesn't mean that you got that personal relationship that you got to have with Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Okay? And we all know, fast forward past Christmas, he also died for our sins that we couldn't do. And then he come up out of the ground and rose for to give us the opportunity to make a choice if you want Jesus in your life or not and spend eternity with him. So that's a lot of information in between all that. So we're going to talk about, back to the wise men. I know I chased a rabbit, and I do that sometimes. You know, because he was born a virgin, born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem. He was a descendant of David, talking about Jesus. He's from the tribe of Judah. All this is prophecy, okay? He was to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. He's a wonderful counselor and mighty God. And he comes from the seed of a woman. Talking about Eve. Although that's just a scratch of the surface of some prophecy that all was fulfilled. Now, let me get put in perspective. And there's a reason I'm saying all this. And I told the Bible study group, if you was to take the whole state of Texas and cover it with coins, the whole surface, about 2 foot thick, the whole state of Texas, send a blind man in there to find the one coin that was marked, and he finds it, that's the odds of this prophecies coming true. And they did. And so you take man out of it, take yourself. We had nothing to do with it. It was all divine intervention from God. His perfect plan. And I want you to take that home. That's what he did for you and I. That's just one thing he did for you and I. To make this happen so we can have a Savior. A Savior from our sin. The sinful world, what we were born in. That was free. Now we get into the message. So I just want to kind of lay it out and stuff, how all this come to play. So now we're with the wise men. We're going to break down Matthew verses 1 through 3. So who are we talking about? The Magi. Wise men. Astrologers. I can't say it. Priest of the East. History tells us, you go back in a little history, and stuff. They've come from the Persian Empire. Okay? What's that mean? Let me tell you what it means. All you need to worry about is they're non-Jew. They're not God's chosen people. They're not from Israel. These people came, and let me solve something else too. We assume there was three. That's the way the songs are written, Nativity, because there was three gifts. We'll talk about that later. And there could have been three, but there could have been 15. I don't know. We don't know. It doesn't specifically say, and it doesn't matter. All we know is that these non-Jews were guided to come and see the Savior. And I want to put emphasis on what they was led by was his star. It says in Scripture, his star, Jesus, his, capital H, his. That's Jesus. There's been a bunch of stuff saying it was the North Star. It could have been a planet. It could have been, all these theories are out there. But let me tell you, it could have been. Because you know why? It was the right one. But also, because God created it, it's all his anyway. So whatever it was, it was his. It was his. And that's what guided them. God always guides his people. Now I'm getting to you and I. Non-Jew. Gentiles. The Savior opened it up for everybody to make that choice of what you want, which way you want to go. The one guarantee you got, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. So make a choice on which way you want to go. Not making a choice is making a choice to go to hell. I don't know how else to put it. God used his star to guide his people. What star have... Why are you here today? You Christian people out there, at some point you was guided in the right direction and you took it. You went that direction. I know I said a lot about the star, but don't overthink it. We need to take it at face value. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's his star that got it. That's what God used. Don't overthink it right out of your relationship with Christ. Don't put all your emphasis on the star. Don't put all your emphasis on nothing but Christ. Don't overthink things. We got a tendency. I do that. I overthink stuff. Don't get into... Well, it had to be the North Star. It had to be, well, it don't matter. I know this, the star got them there. I do know that. It got them where God wanted them at. And he'll do the same for you and I. He'll get you where he wants you at if we just listen to him. What about old King Herod here and his reaction? It said in Scripture he was disturbed by the news. Why do you think that?
Threatened.
Just think if one of us walked up to the White House and told Trump, move over, you're sitting in my chair. Probably wouldn't go over good. We probably wouldn't make it that far, but he was threatened. He got a threat. He's the king. I'm the king. You notice the I part? I. I'm in charge. I run this country. This is my people. I'm in charge. And these non-Jew people come up to him and say, we're looking for the king of Israel. You know, I'm just thinking in his position for a minute. He wanted to protect his throne. What are you protecting that's interfering with your relationship with Christ? What are you not willing to give up? What are you holding back for? What things in this world that's more important that you put in front of God, in front of Christ? Nobody in here is a king, I don't think. But there's something that can hold us back. There's stuff. I can, you know me, stuff. What stuff is interfering with that relationship? Like King Herod's position. Maybe a little pride. Got a little pride? You know, I'm in charge. I run my house. I do what I want to do. I know everything. What's funny about Herod, if you dig a little bit, do a little history, later on, at one point he murdered his wife and at least two of his sons just to protect his throne. That's more important to him than his family. And notice how his little play of words, verses 3 through 8, talking about the search, Herod's inquiry, gathers the chief priests and the teachers. They immediately knew where he was going to be born at. They knew, they got a lot of knowledge, but they didn't do anything with it as far as their relationship with Christ. They're the very ones that knew prophecy. They said the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. That's from Micah 5:2. That's where that prophecy come from. And they knew that. You know, you can study, you can read, you can be educated, you can go to seminary, you can go all this stuff again. But all he wants to know is, or all he's waiting on is that personal relationship. He don't care how much you know. Now, you're going to want to learn some stuff, know these things. But build that foundation. Build that personal relationship first. And then become a scholar. Y'all can laugh. Nobody. Ooh, horror crap. He can be born in the city of David. Bethlehem. You know what Bethlehem means? Or the word? House of bread. Who became our bread later? Just threw that out there. Jesus would protect the whole nation. The house of bread. Jesus would later be called the bread of life. That's John 6. If you want to know where that's at, I just throw it out there where y'all can look it up one day. The house of bread. So Herod's deception. He tells the Magi to report back to me so I can go worship. Okay? He's plotting already a plan. He's already... What kind of front are you putting on? What are you here for? Are you here for the right reasons? Or you just want to put out that image that I go to church, I'm a Christian? You know, all this relates to us, even though we're not in the exact situation, the same time frame as these people, but it applies to us today. And so don't play church. Be the church. You are the church. Amen. Like I said at the announcements, we're not having church Wednesday night because it's Christmas Eve. Go with your family. Have church. I didn't say didn't have church. Don't have church. We're just not coming here to meet. Verses 9 through 11 breaks down their guidance the rest of the way, their response, and the gifts. that they presented. You ever thought about the gifts? We'll talk about that in a minute, what that means. The star leads them to the house where Jesus is. God's guidance again. Jesus was a young child, more than a year old. They were filled, Scripture says, with great joy. They bow down and worship him. Now, I'm assuming inside y'all got a lot of joy because y'all didn't express it during the songs today. You can have joy here inside. You know, sometimes you got to let it out. It's okay to let it out sometimes. You know, every now and then. And I'm joking, kind of. Anyway, express your joy. Be thankful that he died for you and I and rose on that cross to save us. Now, we had to be born. We're talking about the Christmas season. Yeah, it's a great deal, you know. And I told y'all the odds of it coming to light, and it did. Thank God for it. Praise God. That it just none of this is just by chance. It's God's intention, his plan to redeem you and I. They bow down and worship him, unlike Herod and Jesus' own people. They knew all the scripture. They knew all the prophecy that their Lord and Savior was coming. And he came and left, and they still hadn't got it. All right, the gifts. Let's break that down. So they gave him gold. Gold is for a king, pure and valuable. It was more valuable back then than it is now. It's still valuable, a commodity, but back then it really was. And this is a child. Now look, they recognize at some point you and I, if you hadn't yet, you ain't got there yet. You got to recognize who Jesus is and what he is. And you got to, that's where that rubber meets the road type deal. You got to make a decision. They made their decision. They knew what, and so these are outside people led by God's star to come see the Savior of the world and present him valuable gifts that they could have used for other stuff. But they didn't. It was valuable to him. It was gold for a king. Represents Jesus the king. Frankincense, you know, that big word, it stands for the deity of God. Old Testament time, they had like your scentsy candles you got today. What do you call them? Scentsy candles. They got them, all them aromas. They burn incense and stuff. And God, you know what's great about that? You can read scripture. And God, it just wasn't an act of doing it. He actually smelt it. And he loved the aroma. God's real, people. God's real. He's just not a figment of our imagination. Some higher power up there and that we don't see or feel. We don't physically see him, but you can see all everything around it. Amen. Everything. If you just let yourself listen to him. It was used for offering of thanksgiving and praise to God. So they gave him frankincense. I don't know if you know this or not. Jesus is God. Okay? Now we get to the good one. Myrrh. For the dead people. For a Savior who died for us. These men recognize he was a king. Recognize he was God, and they recognize that he was going to die for us and die for them. Myrrh is for our Savior, mortality, death, embalming oil, however you want to look at it, used to prepare the dead bodies for burial, foreshadowed the suffering Jesus would endure on the cross. You know, I do like Christmas. I do. And I like the birth of Jesus. It's all important. But you take the cross away, there's nothing. his purpose. He fulfilled his purpose all the way to the cross and beyond for you and I. And we got to remember that. We got to celebrate his birth. Let's do that. Because you got to start with the birth. But just remember where you went. And then God gave him a divine warning to return home a different way. Don't go back to Herod. Divine warning, warned in a dream not to return to Herod. Now look, let me see if I can break this down. I don't know if I can say it right or not. Y'all might be mad or y'all might walk out when I get done with this. That's okay. Some of y'all come back. Do you have dreams? Do you have weird, crazy dreams sometimes, right? Some do, some don't. I know a lady said she never had a dream. Oh, she don't remember none. Now, this, you got to be careful when you say dreams, just like Daniel in his dreams. They're divine from God. God can speak to you through dreams. Okay? God can do what he wants to, but he can speak to you through dreams. He can guide you by a physical star. He can talk to you, like I said, through dreams. Don't play every dream you have off as just some crazy junk. Listen to it sometimes, because God will talk to you through dreams. And so, but you got to be willing and open-minded to receive it and to know and to act on it. These men, if they hadn't listened to this dream, they went right back to Herod and it would have been a different outcome. Don't play off little, and me and Charlie and the rest of us, we kind of got an inside joke, coincidences. Don't play everything off just by chance or coincidence. God's in control of everything. Your thoughts, your dreams, your stars. He's in control. Listen to him. Don't let pride get, don't be like Herod. Give it to him. Let him control you, and you'll be amazed what a different life you'll have. So we had the fulfillment of prophecy, the Messiah's coming, birthplace, a big word here, adoration. You know what that means? This is the wise man, okay? And this should be you and I. Deep love, respect, and worship. That's just scratching the surface. What kind of relationship do you have with God, with Jesus? Do you have that personal relationship, or you just got the knowledge? You need to fix that. You need to get rid of, don't get rid of the knowledge. Set it to the side. Focus on just a relationship. Don't overthink it. Just have a personal relationship with him through prayer, through service, through worship, however that may be. Listen to him. The Jewish leaders were, let's see if I say this word, apathetic, showing or feeling no interest. They had, didn't mean nothing to them. Don't get there. Don't have that relationship with God, with Jesus. Don't have that relationship where, or a non-relationship where you had no feeling about it. Don't, I'm going to church today. Why are you going to church today? Why? Don't just come fill a pew. I'm glad y'all here, but I hope y'all here for the right reason, to get something from God, not from me. I'm just, whatever reason, I would chose to be his mouthpiece, his vessel for right now. Give it to God. Have that feeling of love, respect, and worship. In the near future, we're going to talk about that kind of love. A whole lot different than what you typically think of love is. And that's another sermon. I don't know, y'all got any plans today? Just playing. Just playing. What are your interests in your relationship with God? Do you even care? Is it convenient? Just when it's convenient? Okay. Yeah. Hey, God. or when you're in trouble. Lord, help me. Costly worship. The Magi's journey and gifts show deep submission and reverence. It cost them minimum a journey on foot or camel, where they rode back then. You know, they had to come out of their way. They gave them, you know, do you realize when they walked up to King Herod and said, "Where's the king of the Jews?" He could have killed them right there. He had that kind of power and authority. They put their life literally in God's hand. They trusted God. The outsiders trusted God more than his own people. And that's what we need to be. That's where we need to be at. What are you going to do when he tells you to do something or not to do something? Witness to this person, that person. You can put it first or just when it's convenient. God uses stars, dreams, and scripture to guide his people even through obstacles. When things are going good, when things are going bad, when things are hunky-dory in the middle, God's still there. He's always there. No matter what you're going through, what's going on in your life, God is there. He never changes. He made this one in, what did I tell y'all? I didn't tell y'all the number, did I? Hang on. I don't know what I did with it. Oh, here it is. I forgot to tell y'all this. You know, I'm talking about the odds of this happening. It's 1 in 10. The 10 puts 17 zeros behind it. That's way, way more than I can compute in my head. A 10 with 17 zeros more. 1 in that is the odds of what Christ did for you and I. But he did it. Got my papers shuffled up a little bit. God uses all this stuff, dreams and stars and scripture, other people, worship, to reach you. My question today, what does your daily walk look like? What does it look like? Every one of us needs to look in the mirror or reflect on our daily walk with God. Because I want to tell you, it don't just happen once a week, twice a week. If you want this kind of relationship that we're talking about, that these wise men set the example for us, they didn't do it on their own. They listened to God and let God guide them. Let Jesus guide you daily, and you'll see things that you never thought possible. The wise men, the first part of it was their journey. Focus on their journey. You and I got a journey. Is it with God or is it without him? It's one or the other. Somewhere there's no in between. You either are or you're not with God, with Jesus. What is your journey? And y'all hear me say all the time, I said it just a while ago, that a journey, you know what? You know, a journey don't happen just every now and then. A journey, it's a daily deal, right? It takes you a while. What is your journey from here to eternity? Remember, at the beginning, there's two eternities. There's death and there's eternal life. I pray that you, if you hadn't, today you need to make that decision, that choice for eternal life. Jesus did all this impossible. It's from a human standpoint, to die on that cross and do it for you and I. What are you going to do? As Daryl plays a song, an invitation, reflect on that If you need to rededicate, if you need to accept Christ. Number one, if you need Christ, come up and get him. Or stand where you're at. He works everywhere, remember. He can talk to you in a deer stand. That's where I wrote half of this sermon from. That's why I didn't see no deer. I probably didn't. They probably walked right on by me. I never seen them. Anyway, song of invitation, rededication, just need a prayer, just get some junk out of your life, whatever it is. I want everybody to stand. We can close with prayer as he plays the song. You make a decision that you need to make, just get yourself right with the Lord, however that looks like to you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and this opportunity again to hear your word and to just take this Christmas season and that you are the reason for the season. And just thank you for allowing your son to come down here in human form to be justified for us, Lord, and to save us. Just thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.